ಆಮಾಚಾರ ಶಿರಡಾಸ್ ತಾಕುರ್ಕಿ ಪ್ರಂಸಿಕಃ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ್ ಅದಿ ಗೌರ್ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ್ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ್ ರಾಧಾ ಕುಂದ್ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಕುಂದ್ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾಂ ಕಿ ಬೃಂದಾವನ್ ಧಾಮ್ ಕಿ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ್ ಧಾಮ್ ಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಯಿ ಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಯಿ ಕಿ ತುಳಸಿ ದೇವಿ ಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿ ಕಿ ಸಮಾವೇತ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಕಿ ಜಯ ನಿತಾಯ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರಮಾನಂದ All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the Sri Guna Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸೊ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕಂತು 5 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 2 ಅಂಡ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 2 So please repeat. Sacha Kadachit Pitriloka Kama Suravara Vanita Krida Chala Dronyam Bhagavantam Vishvasrijam Patim Abhritta Paricharyo Pakarana Atmanika Griena Tapasvya Aradhayam Babhuva Okay. Sacha kadachit pitriloka kamak suravara vanita krida chaladronyam. It's prose, but at least something. Or should you just read it? Or okay. Bhagavantam vishvasrijam patim abhrita ಪರಿಚರ್ಯೋಪಕರಣ ಆತ್ಮಕಾಗ್ರ್ಯೇನ ತಪಸ್ವ್ಯ ಆರಾಧಯಾಂ ಬಭೂವ ಸಹ ಹಿ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಆಗ್ನಿಧರ ಚ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಕದಾಚಿತ್ ವಾನ್ಸ್ ಅಪಾನ್ ಎ ಟೈಮ್ ಪಿತೃಲೋಕ The Pitriloka planet. Kamaha, desiring. Suravara, of the great demigods. Vanita, the woman. Akrida, the place of pastimes. Achaladronyam, in one valley of the Mandara hill. Bhagavantam, unto the most powerful Lord Brahma, Vishvasrijam, of personalities who has created this universe, Patim, the master, Abhrita, having collected, Paricharya Upakaranaha, ingredients for worship, Atma, of the mind. Eka agriena with full attention. Tapasvi, one who executes austerity. Aradhyanam babhuva, became engaged in worshipping. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Desiring to get a perfect son and become an inhabitant of Pitriloka, Maharaj Agnidra once worshipped Lord Brahma, the master of those in charge of material creation. He went to the valley of Mandara Hill, where the damsels of the heavenly planets come down to stroll. There he collected garden flowers and other necessary paraphernalia, and then engaged in severe austerities and worship. The king became Pitriloka Kama. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The king became Pitriloka Kama, or desirous of being transferred to the planet named Pitriloka. Pitriloka is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Yanti deva vrata devan, pitri nyantin, pitri vrataha. To go to this planet, one needs very good sons who can make offerings to Lord Vishnu and then offer the remnants to their forefathers. The purpose of Shraddha ceremony is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, so that after pleasing him, one may offer prasad to one's forefathers and in this way make them happy. The inhabitants of Pitriloka are generally men of the karma kandiya or fruitive activity category who have been transferred there because of their pious activities. They can stay there as long as their descendants offer them Vishnu Prasad. Everyone in heavenly planets, such as Pitriloka, however, must return to earth after exhausting the effects of his pious acts. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.21, Kshine Punye Martya Lokam Vishanti. Persons who perform pious acts are transferred to the higher planets, but when the effects of their pious acts are over, they are again transferred to earth. Since Maharaj Priyavrata was a great devotee, how could he have begotten a son who desired to be transferred to Pitriloka? Lord Krishna says, Pitri Nyanti Pitri Vrataha. Persons who desire to go to Pitriloka are transferred there. Similarly, Yanti Mat Yajino Pimam. Persons who desire to be transferred to the spiritual planets, Vaikuntha Lokas, can also go there. Since Maharaj Agnidra was the son of Vaishnava, he should have desired to be transferred to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Loka. Why then did he desire to be transferred to Pitriloka? In answer to this, Goswami Giridhara, one of the Bhagavatam commentators, remarks that Agnidra was born when Maharaj Priyavrata was infatuated by lusty desires. This may be accepted as a fact, because sons are begotten with different mentalities according to the time of their conception. According to the Vedic system, therefore, before a child is conceived, the Garbharana Samskara is performed. This ceremony molds the mentality of the father in such a way that when he plants his seed in the womb of his wife, he will beget a child whose mind will be completely saturated with a devotional attitude. At the present moment, however, there are no such Garbharana Samskaras, and therefore people generally have a lusty attitude when they beget children. Especially in this age of Kali, there is no Garbharana ceremonies. Everybody enjoys sex with his wife like a cat or dog. Therefore, according to Shastric injunctions, almost all the people of this age belong to the Shudra category. Of course, although Maharaj Agnidra had the desire to be transferred to Pitriloka, this does not mean that his mentality was that of a Shudra. He was a Kshatriya. Maharaj Agnidra desired to be transferred to Pitriloka, and therefore he needed a wife, because anyone desiring to be transferred to Pitriloka must have left behind a good son to offer yearly pinda or prasad from the Lord Vishnu. To have a good son, Maharaj Agnidra wanted a wife from a family of demigods. Therefore, he went to Mandara Hill where the women of the demigods generally come to worship Lord Brahma. In Bhagavad Gita 4.12, it is said, Kankshanta karmanam siddhim yajanta iva iha devataha. Materialists who want quick results in the material world worship demigods. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Aishwarya Praje Sabaha. Those who desire beautiful wives, substantial wealth, and many sons worship the demigods. But an intelligent devotee, instead of being entangled by the happiness of this material world in the form of a beautiful wife, material opulence, and children, desires to be immediately transferred back home, back to Godhead. Thus, he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Hare Krishna. So we can see, this is a very beautiful and important purport. The mentality of the devotee should be Nadhanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, but here Maharaj Agnidra then didn't really have that. We have similar example when we see Maharaj Anga. Maharaj Anga and his son, then King Bhana. Maharaj Anga was a great devotee. But King Bhana, he had to be killed. He was a rascal. The description goes, he would be playing with some of the boys, and in case he lost in the game, he would kill them. It's a rascal. But Maharaj Anga, great devotee, so how is it possible? So Srila Prabhupada brings up again that Gavarna Samskara. So this samskara is extremely important. In Bhagavad Gita also, Srila Prabhupada explains in the 16th chapter, he explains, if you want to have child who will have the divine qualities, then you have to perform the sixth principle of human being. The 10 principles. And then 10 principles, he refers to the Dashavida Samskara. So he is very clear. Srila Prabhupada is clear about that they need to be done. Otherwise, what do we get? Varna Sankara. And now we are talking about some pious person like, Maharaj Agnidra. He is at least desiring to go to heaven. What do people know today? They cannot talk even about heaven. The activities they perform, these are demoniac activities. So they will straight go to hell. Plus, a person, the jiva, throughout his life, then he commits some pious activities and he commits also some sinful activities. So he goes to heaven to enjoy. He comes back to the earth after, that's exhausted. But he goes to hell also to suffer. It's necessary because he gets rewarded for what he does good, but he also needs to get punished for what he does bad. So then he learns. But this is such a waste of time. Prahlad Maharaj speaks about, in many verses. So, why would be we wasting our time? I remember there was I heard about that there was one brahmachari. It was in one of the Gaudiya Mats in Mayapur. And somebody asked him, why did you join? And he also, wearing saffron, Brahmachari. He said, why did you join? He said, well, I want to go to heaven. So, why? What? Well, I wanted to enjoy, but over here, you know, all these girls, they're like frogs. No, I want to enjoy. No, so I want to go to heaven. So why did you join as a brahmachari? He said, well, there is no better way to go to heaven than follow the Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. So I joined. So, I hope that he changes mind later on. Otherwise, he will still get tricked, like Dhruva Maharaj, right? He had very strong material desires. He wanted kingdom better than Lord Brahma, and he wanted to take revenge of his stepmother. And he was fully focused. And then his spiritual master, Narada Muni, and he saw his determination that he wants to fulfill that. So then, he tricked him. He tricked him about, okay, you want to fulfill your desires? Fine, okay, do it, no problem. No, you will get all the desires fulfilled. Just chant this mantra. No. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So then Dhruva Maharaj, not thinking, okay, I will get fulfilled my material desires. And he goes and chants. And he gives up eating and sleeping and drinking and even breathing. And he's so absorbed in it that actually he achieves perfection in the mantra. And the Lord, he manifests to him. And he purifies. His Dhruva Maharaj's consciousness gets completely purified by the sight and also by when Lord Vishnu touched Dhruva Maharaj with this conch, completely purified. Then he had no material desires. And all he wanted then to serve the Lord. But the Lord said, no, you wanted some desires, it will be fulfilled. So Dhruva Maharaj, he laments. His lamentation is, why was I so foolish to approach the Lord for materialistic desires? So, and Srila Prabhupada, he comments, he says, if you don't want to lament like Dhruva Maharaj later on, don't approach Krishna only for materialistic desires. But now, how to do it? Because everybody has some. So, the point is that the focus of our Krishna consciousness should not be material profit. There's always some way, some need, no? Somebody wants some nice prasad or some nice place. So, as long as it is not the center of our Krishna consciousness or our service, then it can be all right. Because in the beginning, what? As we are starting to serve the Lord, so then what it is? It's sakama. Sakama bhakti. It's our desires. I can serve as long as I don't get some dissatisfaction from it. So what am I good at? That's swajati. Okay, that I'll do. Okay, I'm good at it. And you ask me to do something. No. I don't want to do that. That's in the beginning. So spiritual master, he is also an expert, and he can understand the nature of the student. And he engages him accordingly. But when he sees as he progresses, then he can engage him in anything. So, we see the example Srila Prabhupada, he sent Tamala Krishna Maharaj to China. China. American boy going to China. He was so scared first. And he agreed before. Yeah, it would be no. But he progressed. He surrendered. So, and he saw, this is something which my spiritual master wants me to do. No, I take it. I do. And he was very successful. Because he took it. Same like Srila Prabhupada. He didn't think that he is going to be crossing the ocean at the age of 70. No, to America without money. But he was fully surrendered. So, it's possible. Anything is possible by the mercy of the Lord. So that the devotee, now from working on the platform of Sakama Bhakti, then it develops into Nishkama Bhakti. Like an example, we can see something which is very close, right? Prasad. What we like, okay, I like to cook something or I like to eat something. So let me offer that something, let me cook that something and offer that something to the Lord. Somebody may like, I don't know. I mean, if you, what is the favorite you get from your house? What is it like? That, yes, I always must have it whenever I see it. Many devotees in ISKCON say pizza, right? Pizza is the top. Okay, whatever. So they will cook the pizza they want. How they like it. Put whatever you like on it. How? And once it's done, what do? You offer it to Krishna. So you don't forget. But the process of making it is not about Krishna, it's about you. But you don't forget Krishna. Fine. So that's Sakama. But then after some time, you may start wondering. Krishna, now, do you like the pizza I'm offering you? Does Srimati Radhani cooking for you? Maybe. Well, I mean, she cooks every day something different. So I'm sure there must have been something like that. But we start wondering. What I cook for you, is that what you like? Maybe would you like something else? And what is it that something you would like? Then open Chaitanya Charitamrita and then you will see what Sachimata cooks for Nimai. Or go to Braj and ask the bridge bosses. No, go on Govardhan Puja. And then you ask them, what are you cooking for Krishna? And then you will see, millions of preparations there, which Krishna likes. Bhagavatam, or Govinda Lilamrita. There are descriptions of preparations Krishna likes. So, okay, cook something which Krishna likes. Oh, but I don't know how to make it. Oh, I don't know if I like it. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings the Bogarati. Shukta, Shak, Bhaji, Nalita Kushmanda. What is that? Shukta, that's bitter. I don't like it. Shak, When Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, he was opening the Gaudiya Mandir in Bhuvaneshwar. The speciality of the day was that there was a feast. And on that feast, there were offered 22 kinds of shak. In Bengal, they cook. There are at least like 100 varieties of shak. And each one is different. How many do you have? Do you cook shak? Which one? So, palak, anything else? Fenugreek, okay, meti. Lal shak, okay, yeah, no. Pat, do you do jut? Jut, pat. In Bengal, it's like a long, does it grow here? It needs water. But that's a very good shak from that. I mean, Bengali people, anything grows, I mean, you have to think how to make it into eating. Even from potato peels, they make sabji. And it's good. You can utilize anything what you have, definitely. So sharks, I mean, they are really good and they are very healthy. Kochu, you have kochu here. In English, I think they call it taro. You know, it has like leaves, huge leaves. It's growing straight. How? It's in the forest, you have it. Maybe, I don't know. In English, they call it this special kochu. It's called mankochu in Bengali. But in English, they call it taro. I think elongated taro. So from the root, you can make very good sabji, very good chips. You do? Okay. So anyway, so there are many kinds of kochu, which these leaves are not edible. But other kochu, they have the leaves. Like in Gujarat, they do patra. That's kochu also. So that, like that, there are many sharks. So anyway, so you may not like, but Krishna likes. Nimai likes. So then, if you learn how he likes it, then you can start making it the way he likes. But then your consciousness will be about him, not about you. I'm making it for you the way you like, or I heard that you like it that way. Always when you make feasts, right, on festivals, and try to figure out what is the favorite. So like, no, Srila Prabhupada's Abhirbhavtiti or Tirbhavtiti. What is Srila Prabhupada's favorite? No, we know. Kachari, right? Begun. You have begun, no? Yeah, you had, there was a sabji. You know begun pora? You burnt begun. No, or neem begun. You make neem. This excellent. That's a favorite show, Prabhupada. So you can make. So like that, or for Krishna, Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani, she likes. It's another kind of kochu, arbi. Yeah. Arbi as a chachari, like a dry sabji. Or there is one sweet, you can say sweet chutney, kind of. You take a ghee and you make it hot. Then you put sugar inside and turn it off. So you mix it. It doesn't dissolve completely. And you have bananas, cut, ripe bananas, and you put it into a hot ghee, but without fire, and you mix it. Now the ghee still kind of, with the sugar and the bananas, like melts together, the bananas will still hold, they don't break, but it becomes like a thick consistency. So that's one favorite of Srimati Radharani. What the Brijbasis do, Krishna likes very much, is hot puri and bura. You must also do here, no? It's like it's a very simple preparation, but the puris are very hot and dripping ghee. You just take them out and put bura on top and eat it. No? Anyway, so when you do that you are thinking about the Lord, how he likes it. So it becomes nishkama. It's about him. It's not about me. So the sakama is the principle of I don't forget Krishna. But the nishkama is about I always remember Krishna. And the same way, no, we have the principle is everywhere, right? Then even when we get initiation by spiritual master, then he also gives you. It's a two sides of the same principle. You want to be Krishna conscious. So one is always remember and never forget. Always remember is the instruction. Never forget are the yama, the prohibitions, restrictions. So the instruction always chants the holy name. Not minimum 16 rounds daily. But the restriction is following four regulative principles. Now, if we can focus on always remember Krishna, so we always chant, then there is no need for the restrictions. It's automatically taken care of. But if we cannot sometimes chant, or we are not remembering, no, we are not remembering the Krishna, remembering Krishna, so we have to be careful not to forget him. So then we have to follow the regulative principles. Not to go out of boundaries, because when you go out of boundaries, then the mind will be crazy, and there is no stop to how, what nonsense can the mind work out. So yes, Bhagavat mark, then that's the best, always chant, but it's not always happening. We have desires, and the desires are not pure. So how to fulfill the desires? Then you have Pancharatra, you have Vedic. So they are all complementing each other. It's not that we should reject one for the other one. But at the same time, not pretend that I am here and I don't follow all that. There's no need. They are complementing each other. Like a Gavarana Samskara. No, what where it belongs to? It's a Vedic principle. Samskaras are a Vedic principle. And who wrote about Gavarana Samskara for the Vaishnavas? Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So why would a Goswami, who is absorbed worshipping the Lord, why would he spend time, what sometimes you see that even Vaishnava says, it's Karmakanda. Why would he do that? So he spends that time. He writes Satkira Sardipika. He makes it available to the Vaishnavas. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, now who? The Sinha Guru, right? And he is very, very strong. What is he doing? He translated Satkira Sardipika into Bengali, and he made sure that every Grihastha family has the book and follows that. Why would he do that? If it's Karmakanda, if it's unimportant. No, it's not. It's very important. Srila Prabhupada talks about Gavarana Samskara so much, about the samskaras. So, these things help. Help with what? So then, we can go through the stage of the Sakama Bhakti and then come to the plateau of Nishkama Bhakti, and ultimately Prema Bhakti. But we cannot pretend, I'm on the Prema Bhakti platform, I don't have to follow anything. And then, no, nobody's looking, doing nonsense. That's not the point. The point is just to be honest and then try to help each other so then we can overcome these problems. We can actually come to the platform of Prema Bhakti. But there is a process. And for each and every person, the process may be, different time-wise. Somebody can immediately surrender, give up. Somebody will take lifetimes. Tukaram Maharaj, right? You know, he's your saint, right? How far is Dehu from here? Oh, so it's just nearby. Wow. Okay. Now, you know the story about Tukaram Maharaj, and you know how when he was so pure that actually, he was going in the same body, and everybody would see the Vimana. The tree is still there, And on the Muhurta, the tree still shakes in ecstasy, right? And you know that Tukaram Maharaj also asked the Vishnudutas that, oh, wait a minute, I have some friends. Can I take my friends with me? And they told him, yes, sure. Bring them in. They can also go with you. So, and he would go and he would ask the friends. There were like around 5 friends. And he would ask them, please, my friend, come with me. We can go to Vaikuntha right now. See, the Vimana is right there. And when he approached, the first one, he said, well, I would like to go. Yes, that's good. But my daughter is sick. I cannot leave. No. Who will take care? I cannot go right now. Sorry. Next one said, well, I would like to go too. But the crops are coming. And if I don't take care of the crops, my family will suffer. How can I do that? So, and nobody went. And it's not abstract. It's right there. They saw it. All they could have done is, okay, just drop everything and just walk there. And nobody went. He said, oh, no, Grihastha's foolish. But think about it. If Krishna would come, hey, come right now. Oh, can I make a phone call? No. Oh, then I don't know. I have to let my mother know. I have to, you know, arrange something. Or I have to, you know, whoever, whatever. It's not as easy as it looks. Because you have to make a lifetime decision. And if you are not ready for it, then it will be difficult. So, what it is that that makes us actually make the wrong decisions? Okay, like this. We are the jiva, right? Tiny particle. And we are very, very tiny particle of Krishna's potency. But from Krishna, we inherited actually everything. So we have also the chit potency is still there. But with that also, we inherited also free will. Krishna has ultimate free will. And he has everything under his control. So when he desires something, it's fulfilled effortlessly because his energies are working for him. Now, Icha Shakti, Bala Shakti, Kriya Shakti, they work for him. So he has a desire, it's done. We have a desire, hey, what happened? I want car. Oh, where is it? What happened? No, I desire. It didn't happen. And unfortunately, that's most of the things like that, right? I want. Yeah, want that where it ends. You want? Work for it. So, we desire. We have desires. Most didn't get fulfilled. Or it goes the other way around. But this is it. All we can do is desire. Because whom this material world belongs to? Whom does the body belong to? It's not us. I'm not control of my body. I'm not control of anything. But I would like to think so. No? So, and I actually think now that if I want to not walk or sit or stand or talk, I like to believe that it's me. That's me. I'm doing it. But whom does it belong to? I mean, this is just the flesh. And it's not mine. I don't control it. But Krishna, he is so merciful that as a Paramatma, he is always there with us and he fulfills our desires whenever it's beneficial. And when he does, it's so quick, so seamless that it seems like I'm doing it. But the body is under his control. But I want to move, and he makes it move, and it looks like I'm moving it, and therefore I think I'm in control. But it's not. So that's the new, like a virtual reality. That's actually what they would want to develop, that you really feel that it's you. No, maybe they will come to it. So you will get illusion in illusion in illusion. You can go on, but you will get farther and farther from the reality. So it's only desire which we can do. Only desire is under our control. Now, what to desire? You can desire whatever you want. In fact, most of the things what you desire, you can do. You want to jump off? No. You want to eat mud, rocks? No. Whatever you want to do, you can do. Nobody will stop you necessarily. But the reaction which you get for your action, you have no control over. So you have control over what you want, but you don't have control over what you get for it. So therefore, it is smart to use your intelligence and study Shastra. And Shastra will tell you, if you do this, you get that. Do pious, you will get good results. Do sinful, you will get bad results. So that's intelligence. Previously, people were God-fearing, right? Even among the Christians or the Muslims, they were more God-fearing. They were not doing things whimsically, because they knew, if I do this, I know that I will get the reaction. I don't want to get the reaction. Therefore, I will just restrict myself. I will not do it. But now, people are so atheistic. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the reactions coming. They don't even believe in the nature as per se. So then they feel that they can do whatever they want to do, and the reactions will not come. And if come, it's by chance. I'll take my chance. So foolish. But Shastra describes it very clearly. So now, how can we control our desire? Because this is the only thing then which we can do. Nothing else. I mean, we are so conditioned that our desires are so abominable. So what makes the conditioning? Our ahankar, right? But what actually makes the ahankar then act as the ahankar? That's the false ego. What makes us desire? The papabija is the anartha. And anarthas, then Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur, he describes the four kinds of anarthas in Madhura Kadambini. And they come from four kinds of activities. So when one performs sinful activities, he creates anarthas. Pious activities create anarthas. Devotional service creates anarthas. Namaparat creates anarthas. So we understand sinful activities, yes, bad. No. Pious activities, what do you mean? What pious activity? How pious activity can create anartha? Now, what is pious activity? Maharaj Agnidra, he is pious. He wants to go to heaven. He wants to go to Pitriloka to enjoy. And when is he coming after? After he, now they will not be giving offerings to him anymore. He comes back here. So, what did he gain? Nothing. It's an anartha. So to be pious is anartha. Then, devotional service. What is it? What do you mean by devotional service? I do devotional service. How can it create anartha? The devotional service we are actually unqualified. So we commit a lot of offenses. Sev aparat. So being attached or committing the sev aparat creates an artha. So Vishwamitra Chakravarti Thakur, he describes how to actually overcome these anarthas. How to overcome the anarthas which come from devotional service. He said, just do more devotional service. Continue doing devotional service. It will be removed. The anarthas which come from pious and sinful activities. Don't worry about that. Just focus on the devotional service. They will be removed. And he goes on, there are levels of how they get removed. Partially, substantially, almost completely, completely, and absolutely completely. So, and he describes that the anarthas which come from the pious and sinful and even from the seva parat, then they get removed by ruchi, asakti, they are gone. Who progresses there, they are gone. There is no even a trace, they're absolutely completely removed. But then he describes the anarthas which are created by namaparat. Those anarthas in a subtle form, they go with us until prema. So when you see some elevated devotee falling down, or elevated devotee cannot move forward, most likely they are the cause of anarthas which come from namaparat. They may have been done long, long time ago, but they are very, very difficult to remove. Why do we chant the 10 offenses against the holy name, the namaparat, every day? We don't do anything. Shikshasta come, yes. Some temples do, some temples don't. But every temple does. Namaparat. Why? Simple reason. Because it's so important to avoid them. We should be afraid of committing namaparat. And see, namaparat is so tricky that you can commit namaparat, you can commit vaishnavaparat, and no reaction, right? You can go on and you can bless someone. Nothing happens. Seemingly nothing happens. But they are there. The example, the example you can say, you have a dhoti, right? Yeah, clean dhotis. Our boys don't have really, necessarily always clean dhotis. Sometimes the dhoti is dirty. So you decide, you see the dhoti is dirty, it's dirty. You don't pay attention to it, it's dirty. But you decide, I want to wash my dhoti. So you sit down and you start scrubbing it. And then you scrub it and it becomes spotlessly clean. But there are a few spots. 1-2 spots. And you cannot wash them. They are from flowers or from something you cannot wash. Then, when you wear this dhoti, what's going to happen? If you wear dirty dhoti, people see you have dirty dhoti. It's okay, fine, no problem. Cholbe. If you have clean dhoti, you have a spot there. And you have a spot there. The namaparat, anartha, is subtle. You don't see it because there is so much of dirt on the heart. In the heart, you don't see it. Once you purify the dirt from the heart, the spots which are very tough, you start seeing. So that anarthas from namaparat become prominent when all the other go. And you cannot do anything about it. This is so discouraging. This is so bad. And you cannot do anything about it. What you could have done, avoid it before. So the acharyas, they know it. And they're warning us. Don't commit now, parat. You will regret later on. Now you don't know. You are just a kid. You don't know what it is. Don't commit now, parat. You will regret later on. Oh, no, you don't know what you are talking about. I am different. No. You just are ignorant. You don't see. But when you come to see, you will regret, but it will be late. So, prevention is the best cure. So, avoiding now parat. It's extremely important. And that will help us then to progress. See, like, that it exists. I myself, we went once to Barsana. And there was one Brijbasi. And the Brijbasi was doing seva. Every day he does seva, sweeping. No, Shriji Mandir. So you can see, oh, he's so lucky. He's so fortunate. No, I would like to be, no, like him, having, no, the possibility to serve Srimati Radharani every day. He comes to me, he comes to us, and now he asked, please, can you help me? What does he need help from us? He said, I have been here for 8 consecutive lifetimes and I cannot move forward. What is the cause? Please help me. He was desperate. So now I'm not saying that he must have committed offenses and then that therefore he is not moving forward. No, please don't take it like that. What I'm saying that sometimes just very, very tiny thing can stop us from moving farther. And when the devotee is pure and he cannot move forward and he doesn't know why, this is the most frustrating thing in the world. Devotees, they commit suicide. There was one Babaji at Govardhan. And he was already having glimpse of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And one day, he saw some devotees coming from Dwaraka. They had the brands, Shankar Chakra. And he thought, oh, it's so nice. So let me also have it. No, so he had done it. And then he was unable to have the vision of the pastimes. So he was desperate. So why? What happened? So then, Srimati Radharani, no, she appeared to him and said, now we are a different camp. This is not us. You are not belonging to us. So he was so desperate that he just gave up his life. There was no other remedy. Chota Haridas. He had no other way than to give up his life. So this is the desperation of the devotee. And that can be avoided. I'm not saying that these devotees committed offenses. But what I'm saying, if we do commit offenses, we will come to the same, even worse situation. So, developing fear for committing Nāparāt, especially Vaiṣṇavaparāt, it's very, very healthy. And that will prevent us from coming into such a difficult situation as not being able to move forward on the higher levels of, Shraddha to Prema. Hare Krishna. Some questions.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, for a very inspiring class. So Priyavrata, we know his past record, he was a pure devotee. Then he came into this grassa life. And it Today you mentioned why his son Agnidara had this desire. So Prabhupada says that Priyavrata had lusty desires. So I'm feeling a person was so pure and he entered Grahastha Ashram without any attachment. And it was just the need was there to perform this service. But Prabhupada says because of lusty desires he had a son like Agnidara who had a desire to go to heavenly planets. So how is... Today's your class was about elevated souls having some tinge of... I was getting little...
Yeah, see, sometimes it happens. Like, you know, Kashyapa Muni. So he can have some very, very nice sons. But when Diti approaches him, because she had some lusty desires, and he is not strong enough to control, so having sex at the wrong time with the wrong consciousness, then you get the wrong sons. No, Hiranyakashipu. Now we see another example. He was a demon, but what was his consciousness like? Vishnu consciousness, in fear, but Vishnu. So then when he had sex, or when he had for procreation, right? So then he was thinking of Vishnu and Prahlad Maharaj is born. So it's a fact that the combination of the consciousness of the father and mother for the procreation, during the union, then it creates the consciousness of the child. So sometimes it can be not for the pastime, but sometimes it can be actually that the devotee may have some difficult time. Now, I'm sure that the act of sex, it must be very overwhelming. But if it's controlled, then the consciousness still can remain. You see, like Kardama Muni. Then he was a great yogi, but he was a devotee. So he was fully in control of himself, but he had a desire to get married. The Lord arranges the best possible daughter at the time, not for him. Daughter of Manu. So Devahuti, and when he gets married, he still thinks he's a yogi. So he goes into meditation. But she, being the chaste woman, she doesn't eat because he doesn't eat. So when he comes out of the meditation, he sees that she's in very desperate state. And he understands that, okay, now I am a grihastha, so I have to take care. So because he's a yogi, he's a mystic, and he has the ability, so he produces everything and anything to please her. And then when they go in the flying city throughout, then the description is they enjoy. Everything was there for enjoyment. Waterfalls, animals, birds, and they were enjoying. And they were visiting. So he did it for her because it was his duty. Now, he didn't fall down. Because if he would fall down, why would the Lord come later on and be born as a son? No. So it has to be done that the grihastha takes care of the wife, takes care of the children, but he has to understand that when the time is up. Kardama Muni did understand. Now first he gave daughters, and then the devotee was satisfied, but she was saying, "My Lord, but you said you will also give a son." Okay, so he gives a son. And as soon as Kapiladev is there, he's a special, right? So he grows up, he immediately grew up, and he was able to take care of his mother. So Kardama Muni he goes and he takes sannyas. He just walks out. Doesn't wait for anything else. That's what he said. I'll give you sun and I'll walk out. She agreed. She didn't complain. She was happy. She was fully protected. Now, by the father when she was small, now when she was a wife, by the husband, and then later on by the son. So perfect example. So yes, sometimes there is a problems. We see Vishwamitra Muni had a problem. No, everybody may have a problem. Lord Brahma has a problem. But then Srila Prabhupada describes when Lord Brahma is running after his daughter, that how could he do that if he is a pure devotee? Because he is a pure devotee. So Srila Prabhupada explains, actually, that was for us to see that anybody can fall down. So we should never think that we have our mind or the nature under our control. We should be always very alert, always humble, and always try to seek association of those, how I can improve. We see, Lord Shiva falls down to Mohini Murti. There is a very beautiful temple in South India. There is a deity of Mohini Murti. I think it's the only one. It's a self-manifested, it's a Svayambhu. And you can see Lord Vishnu, but you walk, you see from the back, he's a sari. So that's exactly the deity, the form which manifested to Lord Shiva. And then when Lord Shiva, he actually fall down, he was so lost, then Lord Vishnu, then he showed him the mercy and he actually manifested as Lord Vishnu, so Lord Shiva didn't feel bad about it. But that's exactly that's the Murti. Now anybody can fall down. There is no need to think about why or how did it happen. There should be mercy. We should see how we can help, what we can do for the person to overcome it. And in fact, by helping somebody to overcome, we help ourselves. We are not free of lust. It's there. But we need to work on ourselves to overcome that. And that's why Srila Prabhupada created actually the society. To help each other. Not to blaspheme each other. Not to criticize each other. Help. So then we can all leave this material world when the time comes. And it's possible to do it in one lifetime. Why should we wait? It's so dangerous. You see, you may want to get married and then you may want to have children. Think about how many children of devotees are devotees. In India, maybe a little bit more. In the West, not that many. So why is that? And we hear Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada tells us, if you don't make it this lifetime, then you will get birth in rich man's family. Maybe Ambani's, right? Or you will get born in devotee's family. Is it a blessing? I don't know. I kind of like you can think about it as a blessing and then therefore just, I'll take it easy this lifetime. Or you may take it like, no, I don't want to risk it. There's no point. Now, let me just not to risk. Plus, chanting of the Maha Mantra, right? Chanting of the Holy Name. Haridas Thakur says that one chanting of the Holy Name can purify the whole universe. So we do chant, we do hear chanting. So that's the topmost pious activity. Now, if you leave this material world and still not being focused on Krishna consciousness, then you had done so many pious activities. You go to heaven. For how long? Probably a very long time, right? When you come back, And do we have control when we come back? Maybe you will come back in Satyayuga. Where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Who will know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Where is Srila Prabhupada? Gone. You will not know. It's a risk. It's only 10,000 years. Why to risk it? It's just a moment in Brahmaloka. No, a little longer moment now in the lower heavenly planets. Okay, fine. But when you come back, there is a very good chance that you will not be part of the Chaitanya Lila. So, it's a risk. And therefore, we should just take it seriously and no putting an option to, oh yeah, I'll take it easy this lifetime and then see the next. No. Just be focused from now on until the end. That's the safest. Hare Krishna. Jai Grantara Chimad Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai Nitai Gaur Paramanande.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, a small introduction. His Holiness Priti Vardhan Swami Maharaj, small introduction I would like to give. He came in touch in ISKCON in 91, in Czech Republic. He came to Vrindavan in 92, joined Gurukul Mayapur in 93. Since 30 years, he has been continuously serving in various capacities in Gurukul as ashram teacher, teaching various academic and spiritual subjects to the boys, also as principal, dean, management, council member. Is known for his austerities. Currently, he is the divisional head of Gurukul in Mayapur administration, and Maharaj travels preaching to various places. So let us thank today Maharaj for his very wonderful, nice class by loudly chanting, Hari Bol.